My dearest Hilderemia, it has been a long, long day out here in Short-Haired Prairie. Long have we ridden in pursuit of the little bandits who cause us so much grief and pain. Yes, yes, my dearest Tularemia, there has been much sorrow this day. Many an unlovely hour have I spent in the stirrups as we went in search of the miserable little satanic elves that are causing such mayhem and misfortune in my nerve bundle. Those little bastards are running around with tiny little voltmeters saying,
"Is this one on? Is that one on?"
And oh, my dearest Tularemia, all too often they find that they are. Dearest Tularemia, I will not give up in this ceaseless effort to find peace and surcease of sorrow. No, I will not.
Yow!
But here, as the campfire rages and a distant guitar player and fiddle player noodle in the background, know that you are everything on my mind. From far out here in the Short Hair Prairie, know that you remain deep in my heart. With all my love as the holiday season comes on, yours, ever yours. Let's go, Trigger. Back into the street.
It's showtime.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Here it is, 4 minutes past the hour of 4 p.m. in the Central Standard Time Zone. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And it is the first day of December 2021. And sorry, I couldn't resist it. I had a doctor's appointment earlier today, and it was not pleasant. We talked about some, you know, nerve pain issues that I'm having, and wanted to make sure that I didn't have a UTI. So he, understanding that there was no way in heaven or hell or anywhere in between that I was ever going to get a clean catch on a sample, he said, "Well, you just lean back, why don't you?" And next thing you know, my ankles were headed for my ears. And he said, "I'm just going to catheterize you for a second here, and so I can know that I'm getting a sterile sample." And I was like, "What?" And then it felt like he took the world's tiniest cutting torch and lit it up and pointed it right at, well,
that is so too much information. You need to
no, it is
on.
No, it's we're fine, and you know, no. Pointed it. Well, you know, it's like that. It's like that old joke about back when George W. Bush and Laura got married, and he was a little confused on the wedding night. And she said, "Well, honey, why don't you take that thing you play with and put it where I pee?" And so he went to the closet and grabbed a bowling ball and threw it in the sink. Well, the short and sweet of it is I got catheterized, and about 5 minutes later, when Annette came along and got a long, sort of sharp stick and started peeling me off the ceiling.
You're really cruising what? For it.
I'm not cruising for anything. It's just that, no.
I did not take a sharp stick and peel you off.
I felt like it, and it pretty much needed to.
That was not how it went.
And so I was thinking, you know, and just that the whole Ashokan farewell and the sound of a roaring campfire there, and as if we had reached the end of the day and we're sitting around the fire after, as noted, a long day in the stirrups, riding the short hair prairie. I'm sorry. I had to figure out a way to laugh about it because it hurt so much. Oh my God, it hurt. And I will be, any minute now, my email inbox will be flooded with notes saying, as I heard earlier today, "Welcome to womanhood." And welcome one and all. And indeed. Yeah. I was pleased that last night I made it through an entire 3-hour program. I don't know if I'll do that again today. All kidding aside, one of the things that we were dealing with is vaginal nerve pain, and I was encouraged by a listener in a note. Thank you. Who said, "Don't be afraid to say vagina. It's okay." So I'm not. It rather reminds me of something that Steve Martin did a long time ago. With the intro to 60 Minutes. And, let's see if I can get this right. There it is, yeah.
"I'm Mike Wallace."
"I'm Morley Safer."
"Vagina!"
See, just like that. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to get over this. But it was really, really kind of flustering because nerve pain is a different kind of pain. It's not like something you can spray something on. Medications for nerve pain are really not well developed. And, of course, in the era of the oh-my-God horrors over opioid dependency, and opioids don't really work on nerve pain, there was just... And so I was given a choice between gabapentin or duoxetine. Was that it? Yeah, basically between Neurontin and Cymbalta, which is like a choice between diarrhea and constipation. Both of them have warnings like, you know, may make you very drowsy, may make you a stumbling, bumbling, idiotic, shambling, disoriented mess. I'm disinclined on both of them. Can I see the bag, dear?
Sure.
So I said, no way am I taking that Neurontin stuff, because I saw my father take it, and he didn't handle it at all well, disoriented. And granted, he was considerably older than I, but still, you know, 21 years older than me at the time. Okay, 22 years older than I am now, something like that. So, okay, duloxetine hydrochloride. Take one capsule by mouth every day. Important information. May cause drowsiness. Use care when operating a vehicle, vessel, or machine. From hell's heart, I stab at thee. Take her out of port, matey. When operating a vehicle, vessel, or machine. Swallow whole, do not chew or crush. Yes, don't pull a Rush Limbaugh and chew this up for the refreshing burst of flavor. May cause dizziness. Oh, that's great. May take with food to lessen chance of stomach upset. But my personal favorite on this list was, call doctor if you experience mood changes, sadness, depression, or fear. Oh my God, honey, they're coming to get me, and they're big, and they're purple. Help us off. It's not funny. Try to have a little fun with this. You got to laugh a little, or else you can just sit around and bawl. So it looks like I'm just going to be living with a shit ton of nerve pain, because I can't, I'm not going to take something that's going to keep me from being able to drive, because I am so hell bent on getting home. Oh no, no, no. And
hey, I'll drive.
That's a little, yeah, if only.
I will.
Yeah, it made for a rough earlier part of the day, but we got home in time for me to get on the air, and I'm awfully glad of that. And so this is the first day of a brand new broadcast month. We finished the month of November in a $1,500 hole. I hope somehow or another at some point in time we will be able to catch up with that. And put that to bed. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And, of course, this program is no different in that regard. So we have thanks to send out today to our first day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Tom in sunny San Rafael, and thank you to Chris. Thank you to John at Home Dirts. Thank you to Mark. Thanks, Rusty. Thanks, Joseph. Thanks so much indeed. For your part in helping to keep this program on the air. Of course, I should also note that this is being the first day of the month, first broadcast day of the month, we have Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table. And Bruce has been much on my mind because the shooting that took place in Oxford, Michigan is located, it's a little hamlet not too far from Detroit, but it's a little hamlet located in Oakland County, Michigan. And that county is where Bruce hailed from. So I've been thinking of how horrified he would have been at the details now emerging of the shooting that took place there. That means that our dear friends Ralps and Chris in Germany and an anonymous contributor combine on the first broadcast day of the month to make sure that we get off to a good start. And so there's a $300 matching challenge on the table. And if met, if we raise $300 this evening, then that trio will meet, will double what comes in so that we can Well, and that would actually take out $300 from the $1,500 we were missing from last month and get us down to $1,200. So hopefully folks will respond to Bruce's memorial challenge this evening, and we'll go forward that way. Thank you very much indeed. And I had a blonde moment yesterday. Yesterday, of course, was the 30th day of November, and I said, and we'll thank the Patreon subscribers tomorrow, because that's what we do on the final day of the month. And, well, a little blonde girl forgot that 30 days hath November, April, June, and September, and that there was not a 31st day of November, so that was problematic. And so we will also thank thank our Patreon subscribers for their help last month. And that's what I'm in the process of doing right now, is pulling that list up. So my apologies for the dead air while I do that. All right, must have typoed that. Can't type worth beans. More onto the breach, dear friends. There we go. Oh, let's see now. Ah, all better. There we go. Now I have to do the thing where I never can remember where they hide the list of the Patreons. We'll get there in a minute. Come on. Oh, this is annoying. Sorry. Ah, there we go, there we go. Finally, finally. Thank you to Gary. Thank you, Gary, for being a Patreon subscriber and helping keep this program on the air. Thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, David in San Diego. Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Rico in DeBerg. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Nancy. Thank you to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you to Bernadette, she of the amazing Prees Trees. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, Ed. Thank you to our pal Oak. Thank you, Dave, number 11. Thanks, Mark. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Balmer Bob. Thanks, Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. And thank you, James. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Different Annette, not the Annette here in the living room. But thank you, Annette, too. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you to the Nubian. Thank you to KW. Thank you, Irwin in Montana. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Horst in New Zealand. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Did you crush up one of them Cymbaltas in my oatmeal, honey? Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you to Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Frank. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you so much to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you all so very kindly for being Patreon subscribers and helping to keep the program on the air last month and hopefully this month as well. It is deeply appreciated by me, by Annette, and by the whole community. As we try to keep independent liberal broadcasting afloat. A lot of nice words coming in. Lee in New York said, pain medicine choice, diarrhea or constipation? Could you not have a little of both to balance out the side effects? Yeah, I know. It's like, diarrhea or constipation? You'd think it would be one or the other. But apparently, different strokes for different folks with that miserable shit. So this is just going to be one of those grin and shriek through it kind of situations. But yeah, I noticed the same thing. You know, pick one. Tell me it's going to give me one or the other. Yeah, my math is off. Ralph said, wouldn't that be $600 since it's a matching challenge? Yeah, $300 and $300 that gets matched. And that means we knock out $300 of last month's deficit and get one day covered for the brand new broadcast month of December. Thank you. Thank you to Libby for getting us started on that. We've now got $275 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Ouch, Lee noted. I'm sorry for your pain. You started down this path. You have to continue forward. No regerts. No, never any regerts. Regerting is not an option. And intentionally misspelled, Lee says, I know. No. You know, there will be no girding here or regirting. None whatsoever. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, so there's another good reason not to choose Neurontin. Billable Rick says, the doctors didn't offer you Lyrica? Neurontin can also bring on tardive dyskinesia. Not a good thing. This other stuff probably brings it on too, which is another reason for me to just cross my legs and cry a little bit. Wait a minute, wasn't that the secret to the space folding drive in the latest Star Trek installment? Wasn't that the tardive drive or something? The little creature that got. Yeah. Oh well, there's our. There's our Star Trek reference for the evening. More on Lyrica. Billable says that's what the doctor treated my ex-wife with before and after she had triple spinal fusion surgery to treat the zingers starting in the lower back and running down to the tips of her toes. She experienced some side effects from Lyrica, including increased irritability. Well, that's the last thing in the world I need, because I think if I get increased irritability, Annette is not going to want to take cards in that game.
I will go home. I will leave you to yourself.
I will leave you and I will go home.
That's right.
Gabapentin, Neurontin, on the other hand, Andy the Angry Jew says, definitely go with that. No side effects, although it'll take a couple of days or a week to kick in. I've used it on and off for neuropathies for years. Hope your pain diminishes, and in the year you'll be able to look back and laugh. Ha ha, you're a strong woman and an example for all of us. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Right now, I think I'm just going to carry around a small piece of timber from the forest and just gnaw on it periodically to get through the pain. I cherish these 3 hours here, and I can't take anything that's going to make it less likely that I'm going to get behind the microphone or or more likely that I'm going to get behind the microphone. Oh, hey, how are y'all? Okay, cool, good. I'm so wasted. No, I don't think I'm going to do that. The Q calendar, Billable Rick says, you were correct about the end of November being today, because November has 31 days on the Q calendar. In fact, all months on the Q calendar have 31 days, and 6 months have 32 days. It's also hard to keep up with the with the cue balls and the cucumbers and the, you know. Truly, they do operate in a different universe. Thanks for the reminder, Billable. Let's see here. The tardigrades. Thank you, Lee in New York. It was the tardigrades, not the tardive dyskinesias. It was the tardigrades. They realized that they only needed spores, Lee reminds us. Okay. Thank you for that. And by the way, subject line fresh, Jeremy in Vermont says, boosted and flued, sore arms, but otherwise I'm good. Yay for you, Jeremy. We're so proud for you. I'm so happy that you've got them. And now, you know, you've done everything that a responsible human being could do, as opposed to, say, the maggots and the various and sundry mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks of Team Trump. And by the way, there's some COVID and Trump news in the mail or in the stack today. And Dave in the Blind says, don't worry about your blonde moment, Robin. Blonde is a state of mind, not just a hair color. I hope you feel better soon. There is so much truth in what you write there, Dave. My hair is no longer blonde, but God knows my brain still very much is. Thanks, Dave. Okay, Randy Radar says, have Peggy Fleming skate by and offer you a Vioxx. No, not really. Was it Peggy Fleming?
It was Peggy Fleming.
Or Tonya Harding could come by and just whack me in the kneecap. I mean, you know, whatever. It all just gets so complicated. And by the way, Annette and I did have, after the doctor's appointment and everything, we had a lovely lunch. We went to the original Pancake House, which has rapidly become it's a chain, but it's a really good chain, high quality. And we had a beautiful late breakfast. And the aroma of those sourdough pancakes is like some sort of freaking perfume to me. Oh, they were so good. So good.
Taunting Tracy now.
I'm not taunting Tracy. I taunted Tracy earlier.
Okay, well, I'll get you for that.
So. And what did you have? Eggs Michael?
Yep.
Oh, my God, those things. It was a toasted English muffin with sausage and a poached egg, and this beautiful, exquisite sherry mushroom cream sauce over top. It was beautiful. Just heavenly. Tips for gnawing wood from Matt in San Francisco. I knew I was walking into something. Apply smudge-proof lip stain prior to first bite. A gal can still look her best even when chew toys are involved. Yes, absolutely. You don't want that stuff coming off when you're going to town on a nice hunk of birch. Thank you, Matt. I never would have thought of that. I appreciate it. I do so very much.
That 24-hour lip stain thing here.
Jesus God. I mentioned that. Nitwit Nero was back in the news relative to COVID. And it all has to do with the fact that his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who was as loyal a maggot as there was, having been subpoenaed to sit down for a deposition and having agreed to sit down for said deposition with the January 6th committee, perhaps in hopes of avoiding an indictment or jail, or maybe just finally being sick enough of his former boss that he sensed it was dime dropping time. Mark Meadows has a book coming out, and in that book, Mark Meadows writes, Donald Trump tested positive for COVID-19 3 days before his first debate against Joe Biden, The Guardian said he revealed in a new book. Nonetheless, the stunning revelation of an unreported positive test follows a year of speculation about whether Trump, then 74 years old, had the potentially deadly virus when he faced Biden, 77, in Cleveland on 29 September of 2020, and what danger that might have presented. You remember that debate? You remember how we all said, what the fuck was he on? Well, he was on COVID because he had had a positive test. And this, of course, caused Nitwit Nero to lose his shit. Issuing a statement earlier today, barking and grunting and hooting, as is his wont.
This story of me having COVID prior to or during the first debate is fake news. In fact, a test revealed that I did not have COVID prior to the debate.
Which goes to show you how unutterably stupid this little grifter is, because part of the account that Mark Meadows gives is that he had, in fact, submitted a dummied-up fake COVID test in order to keep the debate on, because had he been positive, there wouldn't have been a debate. But he had to get in there because he was losing his ass because of his rotten handling of the pandemic in the first place.
Oh, wait. He said the part about the fake test. Why did he say the part about the fake test? We said he wasn't going to say anything about the fake test. Melania? Melanie? What the fuck?
Yeah. And he's been, apart from that, grunting and barking and hooting because he revels in the misfortune and unhappiness of others. He had a little online masturbation moment yesterday celebrating the fact that CNN has let Chris Cuomo go, and rightly so, because Chris Cuomo was using his position at CNN to help his brother Andrew, who was at that time governor of New York, deal with the allegations of sexual harassment and other things that dogged him. And so Chris had to go. You would think he would have had more sense than to do that, but, well, he chose family loyalty over, I guess, corporate loyalty. But today, Charlie Baker, the Republican governor of Massachusetts, who reminds us that it is possible for Republicans to be governor and not be complete dickheads, said that he's not going to run for re-election. So Nitwit Nero jumps in and says,
Rhino, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker has announced that because I didn't endorse him and he's incapable of getting the Republican nomination, he will not be running for re-election. He's been very selfish and is bad news for the Republican Party. Actually, he shouldn't even be considered a Republican. We wish him well.
Jesus, will no one rid us of this meddlesome moron? Ugh. Maybe he needs a little gabapentin or what's the name of that stuff? Cymbaline or whatever the hell it is. Just to quiet him down. Well, no, Thorazine dart in the neck is what that motherfucker needs.
What? Huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say Flavio Notes, maybe because because Mark Meadows has a book to sell. Well, there's that too, and there's always got to be a salacious, juicy bite somewhere in the book, and this is it. But the fact that he's due to testify under oath and be deposed by the January 6th Commission, if he says that, he's going to say it under oath, which means it carries with it all the penalties that are involved with perjury and false swearing. Meanwhile, Nitwit Nero has said precisely dick. Complicated legal term, dick. He said precisely dick under oath. Trump submitted someone else's sample? Lee asked. Did it also say he was pregnant? Well, it would explain those 54 Bs, or 52 Bs, wouldn't it? Actually, that's more explained by his hair loss medication. Trans girl would know something about that. Correction from the Department of Old Ice Skater Endorsements. Billable Rick says the Vioxx ice skater was actually Dorothy Hamill, not Peggy Fleming. We regret the error, and I'm sure that Randy Radar does too. Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Times, Randy Radar tells me, has reported the first California Omicron case. Yes, Omicron, not Omicron or Omicron or any of the various other mispronunciations from folks at MSNBC or the White House. The first Omicron case has been identified in California, and it was just a matter of time because as was the case with the Spanish flu in 1918, it was identified first in Spain. It doesn't mean it originated there. And in point of fact, for it to have made its way to South Africa probably means that it's been traveling for quite some time. Small correction, Ron and Raleigh says, the creature is actually a tardigrade. The funny thing is, they actually exist. A tardigrade. Tardigrade. Yeah. I know they do. And through the space folding process, they got really, really big and angry and scary. I regret the error, says Randy Radar. Well, you do, I do, we all do, but little things like that do happen here. God.
I definitely didn't fake my results. See, there's my fake results to prove I didn't fake my results.
And apparently the entire White House staff or campaign staff was in on the dodge because they let people around him, and eventually at least one member of the media did test positive after having contact with the plague campaign. Over on CNN, an analyst there, a CNN contributor named Rachel Bade, said they were willing to do anything to keep him on the trail. So putting the lives of Gold Star families and the future president on the line, that was something he was clearly willing to risk. My question is, what sort of accountability will we see in this? I don't want to make any detailed predictions as to what kind of accountability will come from this, but none whatsoever, because there's never any accountability for Nitwit Nero. He became the only president in American history to be impeached by the House twice, And yet, no matter the fact that the evidence there was stunningly damning, oh well, yeah. He skated on the actual trial. But I remember way back when saying he was actually trying to kill people. That's why he was yelling at the top of his lungs. He was trying to spray the virus over toward President Biden, or candidate Biden at the time. There's no bottom with this fucker. And in point of fact, there's no bottom with any of them. Our buddy John in Pennsylvania, John in PA, sent something along earlier. And, I mean, this is a hot, stinking mess. Not too long back, there was an announcement that... that Colin Kaepernick is going to host a sort of bio documentary about his upbringing as the adopted black son of white parents. The name of it is to be. And it's on Netflix, Colin in Black and White. It's the name, some play the game, others change it. Colin in Black and White. And it's his life being raised by, as a young black man being raised by white parents. Well, there's a TikTok channel, TPUSA, Toilet Paper USA, TP. No, it's Turning Point USA. They propose that, you know, that's what they think it stands for, but we all think toilet paper. And their video mocks Colin Kaepernick with... a young white couple holding a baby in a big fright afro wig. With them holding.
No!
And then it shows a white kid, older adolescent, as in a fro wig. Banging on a mirror or something. And it just gives you an idea of who this maggot scum is. And as I told John in Central PA, there's no bottom with this scum. There is nowhere that these filthy maggots will not go to try to mock or hurt or be deliberately cruel to someone that they perceive to be their enemy. And it's, dear God, it's disgusting. But we shouldn't be surprised, I suppose. It is who the hell they are. And they're never not going to be vile. They're never not going to be nauseating. They're not ever going to be not filthy. There's fallout coming from the revelation about Nitwit Nero and his early COVID. And to go back and see the video footage of that debate, you can tell there's something wrong. Elisa Farah was a White House official in the maggot White House. And she appeared with Jake Tapper on CNN. And she claims that she had no knowledge of the situation in real time. Speaking to Tapper, she said the following.
This news comes from his loyal former chief of staff and his book, a book that Mr. Trump has previously endorsed as, quote, fantastic and a great Christmas present. Let's discuss this with former White House communications director under Trump, Alyssa Farah Griffin, and Dr. Jonathan Reiner, the former physician to Vice President Dick Cheney and consultant to the Obama and Trump White House medical units. Alyssa, congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you
for being here. So reporters asked you and other White House officials multiple times about the timeline leading up to Trump's diagnosis. This is what your colleague Kayleigh McEnany said, followed by something that you said.
I'm not going to give you a detailed readout with timestamps of every time the president's tested. He's tested regularly.
I can't reveal that at this time. The doctors would like to keep it private since it's his private. My understanding is that it's his private medical history.
So were you intentionally misleading the public on that, or was there something else going on that we don't know about?
No, absolutely not. Jake, very few things shocked me, and this revelation shocked me. I was getting inquiries from reporters. Credit to Maggie Haberman. I think she suspected that this may have been the case because she was hounding me for the timeline. So I went to Dr. Connolly. I went to Chief of Staff Meadows and said, when was his first test? When did he first pop positive? And I was told, we're not revealing that for HIPAA reasons. So that was the instruction I was given from our chain of command. Yeah. But let me say this, full stop, this demonstrates a flagrant lack of regard for public health and for the well-being of others. At this time in the White House, I had staffers who were pregnant. I had one who's a multi-time cancer survivor. We had plenty of people in the West Wing who are over 65. We could have killed one of our colleagues. And instead, they decided to not tell anyone, putting every single one of us at risk.
But you didn't know, is the point.
Oh, absolutely not. You didn't know.
And Dr. Reiner, we don't know which kind of test the former president took when he got that positive result. But the second test he took was an antigen test. Is a negative result from an antigen test enough to clear somebody who had previously tested positive to go back into the public?
No. But we know that the White House was relying heavily on Abbott's rapid molecular PCR test, their ID Now test. There was, you may remember, sort of towards the beginning of the pandemic, there was a ceremony at the White House where Abbott delivered several of these machines for use. And this is how they screened press and visitors to the White House, with these rapid, relatively accurate PCR devices. So my strong guess is that the president's positive test came back with the ID Now test, which takes about 15 minutes. And then according to the book, they tried to stop the president from leaving, but he wanted to continue. And on board Air Force One, it appears he was tested with an antigen Binax Now test. Now, the thing about the antigen test is that they have, although their ability to detect to tell that you don't have the virus is quite high. Their ability to detect a positive test, particularly in patients at the beginning of their illness, is less good. And you would never verify a positive test with an antigen test. So the president was positive on the 26th.
Yeah.
And the White House physician knew it. What's astonishing to me is that the White House physician kept the fact that the president of the United States was positive for COVID secret.
Dr. Connolly, Sean Connolly.
For 3 days, allowing multiple events, including the Amy Coney Barrett event, the Gold Star family event, and then the debate.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And when you think about Joe Biden, is certainly in a vulnerable group. He's a man in his late 70s. Alyssa, so here you have, I mean, I can't even make sense of this, but Mark Meadows, who's a very loyal person to Donald Trump, he reveals this in his book. Trump calls it fake news, even though it's from Meadows' book. His spokeswoman, Liz Harrington, Trump spokesperson, puts out this statement, and then Mark calling it fake news, and Mark Meadows retweets it. Can you explain this to us?
Not really, but I will say this. The vast majority of the people working in the White House, especially around the task force under Trump, took COVID seriously. But there were a handful of senior most staff who genuinely thought it was nothing short of the common cold, even when we had over 150,000 Americans who had died at that time. And I think the fact that Mark published this suggests that he still thinks that. He doesn't seem to have reflected on the fact that this was a terrible move in how to handle this, and that he absolutely should have disclosed to the public and quarantined the president. So that's what, like, makes me nervous about that whole orbit, is they still seem to not get that this is a terrible, serious, deadly virus, and that this action was deeply reckless.
And I mean, we should just note, you talked about physician, Dr. Sean Connolly, who at the very least hid this from the public. But when you think about people who are in vulnerable groups who met with Donald Trump, right? You talk about cancer survivors, a pregnant woman, Chris Christie, who contracted coronavirus, probably got it at that White House event. He's certainly in a vulnerable group. There are others. I mean, isn't that a violation of Dr. Connolly's Hippocratic Oath?
Exactly. Dr. Connolly has really two, in this instance, he has really two responsibilities. One is to do the right thing for his patient, which clearly at that first positive test is 10 days of isolation. 10 days of isolation after testing positive. And then his responsibility is to start contact tracing everyone the president has been with, because everyone that the president might have infected someone else. This is how viruses work, and we've right. seen how this has gone for the last 2 years. So Dr. Connolly had not just a responsibility to his patient, but he had a responsibility to the public. And some communicable diseases are reportable, as is COVID,
yeah.
which is why people get phone calls when they test positive and they are contact traced. So he just breached his duty
yeah.
as a physician. Now, if I were the White House physician and I was told, don't say anything about this, I would resign.
Why do you think Meadows is doing this now? Just to sell books? I don't understand.
I think he thought that whole ordeal was not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
That's my best guess.
Just that it was like...
I don't think he would do anything that would...
Isn't this a funny story?
Right, that would make President Trump angry with him, which he seems to be based on the statement. But let me just say this, because it bears repeating and we can't say it enough. It's never too late to do the right thing. Donald Trump should still go out and tell his supporters, I got the vaccine. My wife got the vaccine. My kids got the vaccine. You can trust it and it's safe. He's yet to do that. It could make a huge difference when half the country still is.
Oh, once a maggot, always a maggot, huh? Yeah, she's shocked, shocked. And Mark Meadows still thinks that, you know, almost three quarters of a million people later, more than three quarters of a million people later, the Rona is just a, oh, it's just a big yuck fest. I mean, it's no worse than the cold. Lord, some of these people, well, they need to be on an island somewhere all by themselves. Ms. Farrah, Ms. Farrah Griffin, Elisa Farrah Griffin, she's upset now. Meanwhile, she easily and readily walked out and lied her ass off for an anti-constitutional monstrosity. Jesus. I mentioned that there is more information that has come out from the shooting in Oxford, Michigan. And what a horror it is. We now know that it was a student, a 15-year-old student, who murdered three people and wounded at least three others. I'm sorry, killed four. Injured seven, and criminal charges have now been filed against him today. And a sophomore at Oxford High School by the name of Ethan Crumbley, C-R-U-M-B-L-E-Y. The kid had previously posted a photograph of the pistol that he used to murder four people and maim seven others, and said, "See ya tomorrow, Oxford High School." And there were even reports that there were kids whose parents said, "No, they told us, our kid did not go to school." There were a lot of kids who didn't go to school that day, or some kids who didn't go to school that day, because they knew what this evil little piece of shit was going to do. And I'm sorry, kid's 15 years old, and I usually don't refer to underage people as little pieces of shit, but in the world, in an America that has Kyle Rittenhouse is in them. Ethan Crumbly. Well, he's a little piece of shit. And just not a hell of a lot of forgiveness in me or warm maternal feelings or parental feelings. No. And his parents bought the gun. Particularly, I think it was his daddy who bought the Freedom Protector. Of course, it's real easy to buy a Freedom Protector in Michigan. And apparently gave it to the kid as a gift. Hey, Dad, would you go out and buy me a semi-automatic pistol? I got some scores I got to settle. Why, sure, son. And it looks like they've got mommy and daddy have some issues from their past, because they moved to Michigan from Florida. Ethan Crumbly is going to be tried as an adult at the age of 15. And law enforcement there in Oxford, Michigan, says they have since found a video made before the day of the attack in which Ethan Crumbly threatened to shoot and kill students. They also found his journal where he wrote about murdering his classmates. They noted that there was an incident where his parents had to come to the school less than 3 hours before the attack. And the kid had the chance, and this is what happens with semi-automatic weapons, be they pistols or AR-15s. He had the opportunity to squeeze off some 30 fucking rounds. 30 rounds. And it appears in a truly sick and heartbreaking manifestation of irony. Daddy bought the gun for young Ethan on Black Friday. Yeah. And the prosecutor's office there in Oakland County says they're thinking about bringing some charges. Against the parents. The prosecutor there saying responsible gun ownership is crucial to stopping tragedies. What the fuck kind of statement is that? And that those who do not do that should be and will be held accountable. Of the dead, Tate Meyer, aged 16. Hannah St. Juliana, 14. Madison Baldwin, 17. Justice Schilling, 17. The prosecutor, Karen McDonald, yes, he's going to be prosecuted by a Karen. Nothing funny about that. She said she's got her own kids and, quote, I'll treat this case like these are my own children. And then the fact that there's a mountain of digital evidence, those are her words, videos, social media posts, that showed that the attack was in the planning stages well in advance of the day that the attack took place. Sheriff Michael Bouchard said early today, he came out with the intent to kill people. He was shooting people at close range, oftentimes toward the head or the chest. It's chilling. It's just absolutely cold-hearted murderous. Yeah, and it's also... I'm sure the argument is already being made by the lawful gun owners, barking and grunting and hooting amongst themselves. Well, he probably played violent video games, and that's what made him... No! It's the fact that his daddy bought him a goddamn gun. And here you go, son. You want to go shoot up the school? And, among other things, he banged on one door and said that he was the authorities and they should open the door. Undersheriff Michael McCabe of Oakland County said that there had been rumors about warning signs which were being investigated. Robin Redding was one of the parents who said, My kid said, Ma, I don't feel comfortable. None of the kids that we go to school with are going today. So they knew. And since law enforcement acknowledges that there were warning signs, well, but you can't have you can't have law enforcement running and, you know, battering, you know, knocking on doors and battering, knocking on doors and saying, pardon me, is your son a homicidal maniac? Yeah, because that would give the gun humpers in America a big old sad. And then they'd feel like their freedom was being infringed upon. I mean, you can't take away somebody's guns just because they're talking about shooting up their school. These red flag warnings are a clear violation of our right to keep and arm bears. Fucking assholes. These gun humpers are among the worst people in America. They are almost uniformly among the maggot faithful. And out of all the crap that Nitwit Nero has been pumping out of his stupid little email machine, not a word that I've been able to see. I mean, I read these things every day. Not a word about what happened in Oxford, Michigan. I bet you I know how little Master Crumbly's parents voted, don't you? Sure. Of course. Well, that was the roulette wheel stopping in Oxford, Michigan. Soon enough, all too soon, it'll stop somewhere else. And then once again, a community will be left to sit around wringing its hands and weeping and wearing sackcloth and ashes and wondering, why didn't we know this was going to happen? I mean, this case is so freaking obvious that it's not just the parents that probably need to be prosecuted. It's the people who did not take action when this stuff became a matter of broader knowledge. A picture of the very gun he used to kill, and see you tomorrow. Yeah. God. The prosecutions continue. Speaking of prosecutions, the prosecutions continue in the insurrection in which good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-toting, homosexual, maggot Christian Republicans assaulted constitutional governance in the United States and the very seat of that constitutional governance. Mm-hmm. And the harsh words continue to come out from the bench in this country. Judge Amy Berman Jackson, from the bench, declared in comments at the sentencing of Capitol Riot defendant Russell Peterson. Well, Judge Amy Berman Jackson made, without saying anyone's name, because everything is so stylized now that, well, she can't do that because the six maggots on the Supreme Court might use that as grounds to overturn something she did. Amy Berman Jackson said, those who led the January 6th rally, quote, deliberately stoked the flames of fear and discontent and explicitly encouraged the people who went to the Stop the Steal rally to go to the Capitol and fight for one reason and one reason only, to make sure that the certification of the election did not happen. And so Russell Peterson had been previously charged with illegally entering the Capitol. He wasn't under any charges of having committed any violence or any destructive conduct. And Peterson's pettifogger, Danny John, said that Nitwit Nero, as well as Trump's family members, as well as Rudy Giuliani, were the ones who were responsible for what the insurrectionists did. And that they spent the entire day getting them all riled up with fiery rhetoric. And out of it all, this Peterson guy got, and wait for it, 30 days in jail. And she ordered, Amy Berman Jackson did, $500 in restitution. Now, that 30 days in jail may not sound like a lot, but wait for it. There's more. That 30 days in jail was twice as much time as Merrick Garland, member of the Federalist Society, twice as much time as Merrick Garland's prosecutors had asked for. Yeah, the prosecutors wanted 15 days. Just 15 days for participating, regardless of whether he was violent about it or not, just 15 days for participating in an insurrection against constitutional governance in the United States of America. 15 fucking days. And in addressing him, after having noted who the origin, where the roots and the origin of the insurrection lay, Judge Berman Jackson said, "No one was swept away to the Capitol. No one was carried. There may be others who bear greater responsibility and should be held accountable. But this is not their day in court. It's yours." And gave him those 30 days and a $500 restitution order. We had the one story of the judge, I think it was Beryl Howell, who tied into the prosecutors and said, "It doesn't sound like you're taking this very seriously." 15 days. It seems like those prosecutors are due for another lecture. 15 days for an insurrection. Great heavenly days on earth. 15 days. I guess it's a good thing that it's going to be a state prosecution in Michigan and not a federal one. Because Ethan Crumbly would probably get a fucking medal. So, we shall see, I suppose, who the next, or what the next prosecution holds. One wonders if there will ever be a case that is serious enough to send somebody away for more than 40 months. Oh, and by the way, once this kid in Michigan, Ethan Crumbly, once he's charged, well, I mean, he's been charged, once he's tried, one wonders if he will put up a defense of self-defense. That those four school children just needed murdering because he was afraid of them. Well, that's the genie that Judge Schroeder let out of the bottle in Wisconsin. We'll see if next door Michigan is willing to extend the mayhem into this country. I don't know. But here endeth the Phil Robster, or as Brother Deacon Asa says, I should call it now, the vagina monologue. Blame, honey, no, blame Asa. Don't blame me. I didn't.
I love Asa. That's good.
Yes. We all do. Some people do look like animals, Darlene in Connecticut points out. And Rittenhouse looks like a little pig. Next, the school shooting in Michigan, and almost simultaneously, the careless hunter from Texas who supposedly accidentally shot and killed his 11-year-old daughter after taking her hunting. What an idiot. You don't know how to safely and completely empty your rifle chamber? Seriously? That 11-year-old used to be a fetus. What happens when rights clash, SCOTUS? Because, of course, there was a case heard today in the Supreme Court, the Mississippi case, that says that 15 weeks is plenty of time for a woman to decide whether or not, effectively making abortion impossible in the state of Mississippi. And the argument that was put forward in Mississippi today, part of it was absolutely breathtaking. The brand new Solicitor General of Mississippi stand, curiously enough, used to be the law clerk to, wait for it, Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The state of Mississippi hired Solicitor General Scott G. Stewart, former law clerk to Justice Clarence Thomas. And he argued, with a straight face no less, that there is no constitutional right, no constitutional right to abortion. That a woman in this country does not have a constitutional right to manage the workings of her own reproductive system. Mississippi claims the Constitution does not protect a right to abortion and that the court's precedents are, quote, grievously wrong, unworkable, damaging, and outmoded. There is no argument whatsoever that a 15-week bundle of cells can live outside the womb. And that's the bottom line. Until such time as it can, the mother has the right to terminate the pregnancy for any reason or no reason. And so Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey are on the chopping block. And we shall see what kind of pretzels the likes of Brett Kavanaugh and Justice Handmaid and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas and Ann's boy Neil and Sammy shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet away, fleeing with no weapon, Alito. And we'll see what kind of a twisted reasoning they come up with for telling every woman in this country that she is not in possession of agency and executive function over the workings of her reproductive system. I read the story coming out of Texas, and I'll tell you the first thing that crossed my mind. 11-year-old girl, daddy takes her hunting, daddy shoots her and accidentally shoots her and kills her. What do you think was going on there, Annette?
I don't even want to talk about it.
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
I don't even
want
to talk about it.
Getting her out of the way before she could say something. At least that's what my spidey sense tells me. And then, of course, Stephen New York points out 15 weeks. If they actually do overturn Roe and Casey, that 15 weeks will go to zero. Precisely. This is a matter for the states to determine. The federal government ain't got no business in it. Because essentially, by flying in the face of Planned Parenthood versus Casey and Roe, which says that viability is somewhere around 22 to 24 weeks, Mississippi is engaging in that longest standing of noxious Southern legislative hobbies, nullification.
Well, so what if the Constitution says that a woman got a right to choose? We here in Mississippi reserve the right to nullify any federal laws.
Burn some sense into them, I say. Burn some sense into them. Oh, where's General Sherman when we need him? To do a little teaching again. By the way, going back to Nitwit Nero's first debate performance, Brother Deacon Asa said, Trump announced on October 2nd that he and Melanoma had the Rona. The debate was September 29th, so Mark Meadows' account of the event tracks. Yeah. And Billable Rick said, Trump's fake pre-debate COVID-19 negative test. Any rational person who viewed the first debate between Trump and Biden knew that Trump had the Rona based on his irrational ranting and raving and uncontrollable sweating. Plus, it appeared that Trump was intentionally trying to infect Biden by his projectile yelling and screaming during that debate. P.S. Too bad for Roe versus Wade that Amy COVID Barrett only received a mild case of the Rona from Nitwit Nero. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, chilling. The most chilling thing for me on this shooting was the video of the kids in the classroom. One kid on a chair talking through the door to the person claiming to be the sheriff's department. The disembodied voice called back to, "Come open the door, bro." The bro being a tell to all the kids sheltering in the room who, upon hearing it, realize, holler out, "Red flag!" and they all storm out the back door in sheer panic, running for their lives. These kids are traumatized for life. People are dead, and for what? This shit is sick. And, of course, if you check in with the gun-humping lobby, you know, this is no time to politicize this tragedy. This is a time for tots and pears. Pray and pray, live on hay, day by day. There'll be pie in the sky when you die. You're right, Matt. This shit is sick. And there is not a Republican in the entire United States of America who is willing to do one single goddamn thing about it. Because remember, this pistol was bought lawfully, just like Kyle Rittenhouse's AR-15. These are those beloved lawful gun owners that the gun humpers love to bark and grunt and hoot about so loudly. And there's just nothing we can do about it because, you know, you're going to have to have a few dead children every now and then because we got to preserve the freedom of pasty-faced, doughy white people to sit around and fondle their firearms in case they ever need to rise up against the government. Yeah. Anyone find it fucking ironic, Megan asks, that we're discussing yet another school shooting where children have lost their lives while the fucking SCOTUS is debating on whether or not women should be forced to give birth? How the bloody hell they can't see the irony is beyond me. And it makes me want to spit pure iron nails in response. I know. But you see, they get into that intellectual headspace there. And, well, you know, these are entirely separate issues. The right to keep and bear arms is enshrined in the Constitution, whereas there is no specific right of a woman
to manage the workings of a reproductive system in the Constitution. We can point to the Second Amendment, but you can't point to a woman's right to choose. That was created out of whole cloth in Roe versus Wade. Because you have to remember, if you're a constitutional originalist, like these freaks claim to be, you have to remember that at the time that of the origins of the Constitution, women had no rights. Women were property. Marriages were property transfers. Women were chattel. No more, no less than the most benighted spot anywhere on the planet. So when somebody like the Solicitor General of Mississippi says, well, the Constitution provides no constitutional right to an abortion, what they're saying is, the Constitution of the United States provides no constitutional right for women to be actually treated like fully actualized human beings. And right there is the failure of constitutional originalism. If it wasn't in the Constitution when it was writ, it don't exist. And that applies to everything except semi-automatic weapons. Motherfuckers. Rotten. Pure rotten. Megan said, I'm guessing any conservative justice currently deciding Roe v. Wade didn't read Lysistrata or see the end of season 4 of The Handmaid's Tale. In the case of the latter, hint, it didn't end well for the guy who said birthing females needed to be in red robes. Oh, is that a spoiler? This is what you get, Ron and Raleigh says. Gee, having Catholics on the bench won't affect the lives of non-Catholics. They won't follow the dictates of the church. Yeah, I saw another one of those stories where some berobed freak said, maybe Joe Biden needs to have we need to send a catechism to Joe Biden again. Questioning Joe Biden's Catholicness. And yet none of these black-robed freaks fussing and flapping like a murder of crows ever says that about anything that has to do with Matthew 25, about healing the sick or feeding the hungry or housing the homeless or visiting those in prison and providing them some degree of surcease from sorrow. Because if that was the case, maybe that self-same bishop could have said, maybe we need to send a catechism to Joe Manchin because of the number of working people that he's fucked over and helped to make sure they can't feed their family or take adequate and proper care of their children. No, that never seems to come up. The only thing that comes up is fucking abortion, because abortion is political and not in any sense religious, except to the extent that the religious freaks who hate abortion want to force their bizarre, sick, twisted religious beliefs on the rest of us, which is a howling violation of the spirit and intent of the First Amendment. No, I said chattel, Ron. Chattel, not cattle. Wait a minute. Did you say chattel? No, I said chattel after Annette said chattel. Chattel, not I said chattel, as in living property. Yeah. And so here, nearly an hour and a half into the program, we're $25 into Bruce's Memorial Challenge. We need to raise another $275. And God, it is badly needed after the great big hole that, I dug by not being on the air and getting surgery and all of that stuff in the month of November. Please, please, can we just knock down this challenge so that we can fill in a little bit of last month's hole and be fully funded for at least the first day of this final month of 2021. It, well,
It's vitally important if we are to continue to have this program that is drawing ever nearer to two decades of existence. Let's run over and check in with Dave in the Blind. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Robin. How's it going? Are you in pain when somebody startles you? I know I had surgery on my knees years ago, and when they would come into the room and startle me, pain would just shoot through my legs.
It's not so much a startle reflex as just a random sort of, like I said, little satanic elves down there with a voltmeter going, hey, is this thing hooked up? Yeah, okay. And
well, you know what? But those are gremlins. You can ask Sparky about those. Those are gremlins.
I would not be surprised. I like to think of them as little satanic elves, but you know, whatever.
They gremlins kind of are. I mean, they cause all kinds of mechanical stuff with the aircraft and electronics.
Oh,
and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah. We've all seen the young William Shatner watching the gremlins
tearing the airplane apart.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if he saw one of those on the outside of that reusable metal condom he went up into space with.
Yeah.
You know why I call it a reusable condom, don't you?
No.
We know there were at least two dicks they showed in that thing.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. Shame on you. That's a gnar.
I'm shameless. Now, what else are they thinking about prosecuting the parents?
Yeah, they're
no condition one.
Yeah, they're thinking about prosecuting the parents in Michigan.
Robin, you know what this is? This is the NRA's version of what the FFA has been doing for years. Future Farmers of America. You know when they have the cab showings at the fairs and stuff. Those kids' parents have to buy the animal. The kid is supposed to raise the animal, feed them, take care of them. And this is what the NRA has done, is said, well, you can't have a youngster take care of a long arm all by themselves. You got to start them out small with a semi-automatic.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They can't legally possess one.
Right. They never seem to start out with like a muzzle loader or something like that, or a slingshot even.
Oh God. Do you realize how many non-shooters there would be if they had to actually load one of those muzzle loaders?
Yeah.
I had when I was in the Boy Scouts, there was a man who worked for the Department of Natural Resources. He was a scout leader, but he was also a game warden, and his hobby was black powder rifles. And he taught the hunter safety course. I learned a lot from this guy. He once cited a guy for 250 counts of littering.
Nice.
Because he saw a bunch of dead squirrels with their tails cut off. And he followed the trail. He found the guy and had him count out the number of tails he had in his bag. There was no bag limit on squirrels, which the guy pointed out, and this man looked over and said, you're absolutely right. I'm getting you for littering. There's a dead squirrel all over there, and I've counted 250 of them. And I'm citing you, and that was when the fine for littering in Indiana was $200 per infraction.
That'd sting.
Yeah, but he was a black powder enthusiast, and he built a Kentucky long rifle, showed us how it worked, and all of that, and helped us get our or rifle shotgun merit badge, things like that. But we were taught by people who were responsible, who wanted to make sure we operated safely. You know, there was none of this clowning around on the range stuff. You just didn't do it. But now, oh, you want an automatic to go kill a few of your friends at school? Okay, son. I don't think it should be worth thinking about charging them. How about transferring possession of an unlawful firearm? You know, what about not taking the possession of the ammunition itself would be a separate charge. They should throw the proverbial library at these people. That way,
but you have to remember that, you know, outside civilized areas of Michigan, it's very much, you know, it's like the old gag about Pennsylvania, that there's Pittsburgh in the west and Philly in the east and Alabama in the middle. Well, it ain't just Pennsylvania that way. You get outside of civilized portions of Michigan, and it's Alabama. I'm sure our pal Joy in Ann Arbor would be happy to elaborate on that and demonstrate the absolute truth of the matter. And so, they're crawling with right wing militias. I mean, all the way back in 1995, and Timothy McVeigh, and who was the asshole who helped him, who was part of a militia in Michigan?
Terry Nichols.
Yeah, and look, I don't know why it's so hard for us to get our minds around this, Dave, but the whole country is crawling with them. This country is a seething pot of insurrection and treason. And we seem to have some notion that if we just pretend that it isn't, it won't be. And that's horseshit.
My brother, when he came back from Afghanistan, the day he came back, he assaulted his ex-girlfriend. And he was charged and he was put into pretrial diversion because he'd just come back from a war zone. Now, normally you would think something like that would be an appropriate response. I mean, the woman was not seriously injured. She wasn't hospitalized or anything, but it was a measured response. Now, looking back on it, my sister told me they had to sign for him to get into that program. She said, if I had to do it over again, we would have left him in jail. Because this guy has gone so far around the bend, Robin, it's not funny. And he's still allowed to have firearms. That's the scary part.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. When people separate from the military, especially when they've been, I will assume, acting in good faith in fighting an unjust war. You know, they signed the papers, they took the oath,
marched. And Bob is an officer, so it's even worse. Yeah.
You gotta wonder how much. I get a sneaking suspicion there's more of an exit interview trying to leave corporate America than there is trying to leave the United States military. Well, thanks for your service. Go on home now. Try not to mass murder anybody. And gosh, we hope the PTSD isn't too bad. Best of luck. Here's an apple and a roadmap and a Laurel.
You've only got 180 days worth of treatment at the VA. No, I think they ought to change the rules where if you served in a combat theater, guess what? Your ticket for the VA care is punched. I've known some people in the mental health system in the VA. You want to talk about some top-notch people. But the thing is, the veteran has to be willing to cooperate and to tell them the truth. about what's going on with them, which is often not something that's done. Christine.
And then whatever benefits you get from the VA, you have to claw and fight and struggle to get.
Right. By the way, Christine told me the VA is taking care of her hospital bill from the time she was in intensive care. They took care of the whole thing. Because I was worried about that. I said, they left you with over $1 million. And she goes, no, they paid it. So my sister-in-law must have pushed them hard and told them, look, because their normal way of getting out from under this is, well, she didn't get pre-approval to go there. Never mind, she was unconscious, and she didn't make the decision. The EMTs did. They went to the nearest medical facility. And they saved her life. She actually met them a few months later. They came out to her house again because she ran into a wall, and she has a, she's on blood thinners. So she was told, if you fall or, you know, hit your head or something like that, call an ambulance.
On balance, though, how is Christine holding up these days? Because she stays very much in her
Well, place. For Thanksgiving, she made a Cornish game hen and all the fixings by herself, which she was very proud of.
As she damn well should she, be.
Yeah. Hold on a second, Robin.
Sure.
Christine was calling in, but I'll call her back after I get done with you.
Oh, no, that's okay. If you want to talk to her, go, man, go.
I don't need to talk to her about anything important. I'm just checking in with her at the end of the day. That's not a problem. The thing is, she's doing really well. She's getting all of her paperwork in order to keep that army of lawyers and law students busy.
Good, good. That always makes me happy to hear.
Well, you know, her bankruptcy attorney recommended a legal clinic that he's involved with. He and some of his colleagues are involved with. That help train young law students and giving them actual experience in cases.
Yeah, clinic.
Where they're being supervised. You know how that drill goes. You've been to law school.
Yeah, clinic.
You know how that goes. And so she's going to be training some young future attorneys on the skills of the trade. And she's got a wide-ranging bunch of issues, not just for the VA and her medical claims, but the trailer that she is buying, they've given her three different contracts that they say she's signed. Two of them sound like rental contracts, and they're claiming she actually is renting to buy. So there's going to be a lot of sorting and a lot of questioning. And by God, those young law students are going to get the work out of their lives, because Christine has a very sharp mind, and she will ask the right question. She will make sure that she explains to them what the situation is as she sees it. And she's written letters and sent it to her lawyers for review. They offered to actually hire her as a paralegal.
Wow.
Because she writes in such a lean style and gets right to the point, doesn't mince words, you know, the kind of thing a judge actually would appreciate instead of being all flowery and belaboring. And she's like, but I don't have a degree. I don't have a paralegal degree. They said, well, get one and you've got a job in this firm. But she never did. But yeah, she actually is a brilliant writer. And, you know, occasionally the lawyer will say, well, you need to firm it up on this line. And that's it. And that's really all the lawyer had to tell her.
Right.
So, and she's wanting to get back to that kind of stuff. Now that she's got her computer working, she's getting all of her paperwork in order. And good God, she's going to be keeping an army of attorneys busy. that's okay. It's all billable hours anyway, so why not? But yeah, she's doing quite well. We've had, Christine doesn't follow politics as closely as I do, but a couple of months ago, she mentioned a certain King Joseph of West Virginia.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, how in the hell can he's going to fuck us up? I said, going to? He already has. You know. I did like the guys in the kayaks that went and confronted him on his yacht. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing the tape of that, and he said, well, I'm on your side, and I heard a voice drifting over the water and said, no, you're not. So, yeah, I worry because, you know, I think the judge in this latest case, 15 days, why don't we just take them out to Burger King and just release them?
Yeah, take them to Burger King and have done with it. Or maybe yeah. Take them to Burger King every day for the next 15 days.
Well, there is that, Robert. There is
it
that.
Dave, it does not bode well. Well, listen,
no.
The Thanksgiving's over, so there's a few weeks before the boys at the Emporium get another break. So give them our regards, and please tell Christine we love her dearly.
I will, Robin. I will. And right now things at the shop are kind of slow. This is our slow period.
No, I can see that.
So they've gotten to. To pulling out the Christmas decorations and the lights. Would you believe it? I walked into the shop today. There was a fully decorated number 7 out there with the lights wrapped around the arms and up the uprights and all of that. It was beautiful.
Oh, how warm and holiday cheery.
I told him I thought the tinsel would have been a little much.
Yes, the tinsel would have been a little much. Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, I can see how this is the slow season. You know, the weather's turning foul there and, you know, probably kind of slippery climbing up what passes for a hill in Golgotha, Indiana. Right, yeah.
Well, actually, Indianapolis is in a depression.
Well, if it was Indianapolis, you'd be depressed, too. No major waterway.
Remember, Robin, don't give yourself a virtual cowbell for that one. I live in Pennsylvania.
I know. I know. Dave, you have a lovely evening, my friend.
You too, Robin, and take care of yourself.
Trying to.
And listen to Annette. I'm not going to say this one more time to you.
I know. I'm a very good little patient, and I do. I hear and I obey.
Okay.
Somewhere in his apartment, he's snickering. Oh, I'm sorry. She's not snickering. She heard me say I'm a good little patient, and she just said, that's a load of shite.
Well, if need be, I'll order her a mini cattle prod.
Oh, no, you can stop helping anytime. Dave, you take care of yourself, all right?
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
And I need to send thanks out to Timothy. Thank you, Timothy, so very kindly. We are now down to $255. $255 on Bruce's Memorial Challenge that begins with the first broadcast of every new month. And it is critically important that we meet that challenge so that we got a fighting chance going into this month. I hope there won't be many absences from the air, but I am still healing, and it's hard to say for sure. But thank you, Timothy. Thank you so very much indeed. Let's see here real quick. There's breaking news that Stacey Abrams has announced she is in fact running for governor of Georgia again, and best of luck to her. It would be one of the best things that ever happened to the benighted state of Georgia if they would wise up and elect her governor. You might recall that Nitwit Nero endorsed her sort of backhandedly, but endorsed her a few months back. He has since declared,
Stacey the Hoax Abrams has just announced that she's running for governor of Georgia. I beat her single-handedly without much of a candidate in 2018. I'll beat her again, but it'll be hard to do with Brian Kemp because the MAGA base will just not vote for him after what he did with respect to election integrity and two horribly run elections for president and then two Senate seats. But some good Republican will run, and some good Republican will get my endorsement, and some good Republican will win.
Now, about that, he claims that he's the governor of Georgia now. Pretty soon he's going to be the queen of the fucking May. Or maybe the czar of all the Russias. That man needs medication. That man needs medication. Come on, gentlemen and gentle ladies, contribute, says Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. We are, you know, hey, look, coming up on 2 hours, 2 hours of broadcasting, and hopefully, well, I don't know how long, I don't know how much further I'm going to go because, again, this sitting, Cleopatra hasn't gone over to her chaise longue on the barge yet. And what a treat this is over on the stress line. I mentioned his name yesterday or so, and we've got Paul from Parts Unknown. Paul, how in the world are you, my friend?
Overworked and overtired, Robin. How are you doing?
Just recovering and trying to get a little better every day.
Yeah, I called in. I'm on a half hour break from work right now. I called in yesterday too. I just couldn't make it. You got Todd on.
Oh, okay. I'm awfully glad to hear from you.
So, yeah, I am too. So I called for two things. One is good news and one is bad news. The bad news is coronavirus related. Which news should we talk about first?
Let's get the bad out of the way.
Okay. Well, I was going to tell you yesterday, it's moot now, that from what I'm hearing in the lab, it's guaranteed pretty much that Omicron was going to hit America. As soon as it hit Canada, everyone was talking at the lab, basically like, yeah, it's here. Like, it's just a matter of time. So
yeah, just a matter of identification, not transmission.
Yeah. And I know that they're still saying scientists are studying it. I just wanted to tell the Horn family from like a scientific point of view how that works. So if I, as a scientist, see a house, obviously and clearly see a house on fire. I can't say the house is on fire. I have to say I observed the house is on fire. Now I have to go do measurements, like go out there with a thermometer at the house, make sure there's heat, see that there's things burning, make sure it's not a hologram. And after thorough testing, I can definitely say, yes, the house is on fire. But when it comes to this Omicron, we're observing the house is on fire. And every test that they're getting is, yes, the house is on fire. So they're still going to do lots of testing to see if the house is on fire. But from what we're seeing, it's on fire. Even though it's obvious, you have to go through the process. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. That's the scientific method.
So, yeah, from all, this is the scary variant. It came out of South Africa, and I want to point out that South Africa is roughly 30% vaccinated, which creates that type of environment where you have enough unvaccinated people to keep a variant and the virus going and being infectious. With enough people vaccinated that it gets a taste of that enough that it can get around it or mutate around it. And that's what looks like the Omicron variant is doing. And I only point that out because, as a reminder, places in the South also have a 30% vaccination rate in America, certain states, counties, areas, geographic regions. And so it could have just easily come out of Georgia. Like, that's just a breeding ground. So we're, you know, as long as we remain unvaccinated, we are asking for something like this to hit closer to home. But we're going to learn that even if it happens in South Africa, it affects us here.
Oh, without a doubt. And maybe it arose in South Africa, or maybe that, or you know, I've seen some South African members of the science community saying we're being blamed for simply being for being observant and testing and keeping an eye on things, and say that, you know, maybe it didn't arise there. But the fact is, it's there's every reason in the world to believe that it's all over the world already. It's a matter of spotting it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, pretty much. Once you know, the cat's out of the bag after a certain point. Once we heard, you know, Hong Kong and India and Belarus and a couple of other places that were like far apart, it was definitely like, this is probably already in America. And then when Canada hit over this, I think this last week, and everyone at the lab's like, yep, it's just basically, are they going to find the first American test this week or next week? And they found it this week. So, by all reports, what we're seeing is not good. It does have some capacity to get around the virus. Sorry, not the virus, the vaccine. I'm sure everyone of the Horn family is, you know, on their toes and being careful, given all the news and the presidential address from Monday. But yeah, as a reminder, alarm's still ringing. If you've laxed in your social distancing, if you've laxed in your mask wearing a little bit because you've gotten vaccinated and the numbers are going down, remask up. I can't guarantee that the vaccine will keep you 100% safe. So, you know, remember, the vaccine is your last line of defense, not your first line of defense. Keep those masks on, keep social distancing. And even if the vaccine protects you from the virus, even if you have no symptoms, it infecting you is purchasing another lottery ticket in that mutation lottery.
I was going to come
and
back
just like the Powerball.
Yeah, I was going to come back around to the lottery tickets. You talk about those 30% vaccination areas. Those are all basically COVID mutation lottery ticket outlets.
Yeah, every person's a lottery ticket that gets infected. If you're vaccinated, it's probably one ticket. If you're unvaccinated, it's three or four. But you know how you buy them in bulk. but just don't let them buy the tickets. That's how you get around this thing. And also, just a comment. You got to put up a public warning. I was on the stress line yesterday listening to Laura Leone or whatever talking about the variant. And I just came out of lab, Bob. I can't rush headlong into that kind of stupidity. That gave me the brain then. Don't do that.
I'm sorry about that.
Maybe it's a public health warning.
God. And I mean, I know how little I know. And these fools apparently think because they've got 6 and 7 digit salaries that they know everything. And so they just get on air and they spread stupid like peanut butter on crackers.
Yeah, except peanut butter is digestible. It's more like poison than crackers.
And so you came right out of the lab and put your head right into the wall. Is that what you're telling me?
Basically, yeah. It's like, I was like, is this what a cerebral aneurysm feels like?
Oh, Jesus. I know. Every day here. Every day.
But yeah, I just want people to treat it like it is the monster it is. And if you are curious how to pronounce Omicron, for you Futurama fans out there, as a reminder, Lure, the big lizard guy that's an occasional bad guy in Futurama, is the ruler of Omicron Persei 8. That's how I remember it.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
And so, yeah, just, I mean, I'm sure I can't tell anything more about the Omicron variant that isn't already in the news, but just reminding people to be careful. And this is the kind, my mom talks about, when I was growing up, my mom talked about self-fulfilling prophecies, and this is what it is. This stops when we all, as a planet, really just unite, all do everything, all follow the rules, and it will vanish, basically, if you can put the fire out.
Let me ask you a question, Paul. There has been some talk recently about the dire necessity of vaccinating the global South and underdeveloped or developing nations. Do you think we would have more success vaccinating there than we do here, where the vaccine resistance and anti-vax bullshit is so prevalent? Do you think? And I realize I'm asking you to speculate, but is the anti-vax shit as bad in the hinterlands of the developing world as it is in the developed world? Or would people eagerly
I can't compare the societies, because a lot of their low vaccination rates also due to availability of the vaccine. I'm very happy to see they're looking at nasal dose vaccines that can be kept at like room temperature for a couple of weeks, that are one doses, that don't need to be stored at negative 80 degrees Celsius, which is like negative 120 degrees Fahrenheit for American listeners. It takes a lot of energy, insulation, storage to move that stuff at that temperature. And the logistics of keeping it cold and defrosting it and having that narrow window to use it once it's defrosted is, in a third world country or even a second world country, is very, very difficult. It's even difficult for parts around America. So the nasal stuff I'm very excited about. And then when it gets distributed, we'll see how anti-vax these countries really are. But it doesn't, in my opinion, speculation aside, it doesn't matter. You got to look at it like a football coach. Just put more points on the board. Doesn't matter how many points the other side has, just keep getting people vaccinated. Just raise that number. I don't care if I get 10% of the global South or 50. Like, just put more points on the board, and that's how you're going to beat this thing.
It certainly speaks to a dire need to ramp up production of the vaccine, though, doesn't it? I mean, We're not producing nearly enough to address the needs of any one particular country, let alone half or more of the population of the planet. You know, the Indian subcontinent is included in the global South, and they're scrambling. Every nation on the continent of Africa, desperately under vaccinated. South America, desperately under vaccinated.
Yeah, and these nasal ones, if they go through in the next few months, could be the game changer, because you can ship them in bulk because you don't have to attach. Picture moving something in negative 80 degree, negative 120 degree Fahrenheit cold. It's big, cooling engines and everything. It's a big piece of machinery to keep a truckload and it's of that stuff frozen, and it costs energy and money and fuel. And it's heavier, and and all sorts of things. And it's so much easier to ship nasal stuff. They can make it in bulk and hopefully get it out there quickly. And that's kind of where my hope lies, because it's a one-shot deal.
Have you seen anything on where they are in the development of the nasal spray?
They're in the FDA approval testing phase. So I don't know for certain, but with all the, you know, presidential sign-offs that might happen saying, you know, let's fast-track this, we're probably looking at March. I've heard, you know, next 4 to 6 months. So March of next year.
And so then cases and cases and cases go worldwide. I read a story about the pill, which is also being discussed, Paul, as you know.
Yes.
And one of the more depressing aspects of it was when I got way down into the body of the article and they started talking about the profit motive of the developer of the pill. I think it was, not Moderna, Pfizer. I think it was Pfizer talking about it. And they were talking about, you know, what they planned to charge for it. And when I read that, it was like, well, that's not going to get to very many. That's certainly not going to, ain't no poor people getting that damn pill.
I assume that the pill you're talking about are the pills that are possibly available to help limit your symptoms once you already are sick.
I'm talking about the what is being called a COVID treatment pill or a COVID vaccine pill.
It's an actual vaccine pill.
Yeah, and I'm looking for trying to find
because I know the medications that I've been hearing about are for massively decreasing the symptoms, sort of basically like the monoclonal antibodies in a pill form that isn't a monoclonal antibody that you can just hand out and you take one a day and it limits your symptoms so that you fall, like if you're unvaccinated, the odds of you going on a respirator drop by like tenfold.
Well, I can't seem to find the story now. But I was under the impression it was a preventative and not a treatment.
Then it's going to be expensive, and President Biden might do what was historically done in the 90s with HIV antiviral drugs being distributed in Africa, where the pharmaceutical company, because of the bulk buying, agrees to give a huge price cut, and the United States or the UN or other global benevolent powers, they like also pay money to the company up front to lower the cost to make it more affordable in more impoverished countries. That would something along those lines. That would be the option if it's for the preventative or the after effect, if they're charging an arm and a leg for them.
Well, it sounds like the nasal spray is the best bet.
Yes. So that's it from COVID news. Here at the lab, one of the people I work with had to quarantine because they caught COVID, and they caught it because their child was in daycare, and they caught it in daycare.
Oh my God.
The child caught it in daycare. So it's, and she had to be out of work for 2 weeks and as a single parent. So just as a reminder, I don't know, home community, if you know people in your daily lives that have had COVID, but I don't know if that number's climbing, but just it's still out there. And even though it's the holidays and after all the Thanksgiving travel, it's still dangerous. And keep your mask on and keep social distancing. 10 to 15 feet. I know it's a long distance, but if the Omicron is even more transmissible than the Delta variant, which is what they're talking about, then that's a lot. And they combine that with winter environment, wet air, people already sick indoors, suppressed immune systems from being colder. We're already seeing numbers in the Northeast start rising for the past couple of weeks. It could be a not fun Christmas. So just be careful.
Absolutely. It's terrifying. Well, you know, we've all lived in a state of some degree or another of terror since roughly January of 2020. Some of us were watching it before 2020 came on. And it takes a toll. It takes a toll.
Yeah.
But you mentioned some good news.
Yes, that's where I was going to segue. So onto the good news. So one, I'm happy that you got through operation. You're healing up. I've been listening to the shows, and I know it's tough and you're exhausted, but I thought I'd give you a good note. So I appreciate you keeping my privacy and my anonymity, but I'm going to out myself right now.
Okay.
When Robin announced her transition and going through all that at the beginning of the year, I wrote a very nice letter to Robin as a friend talking about how I am highly transphobic. Now, when I say that word, I don't mean hateful. I am just afraid. Much more in the category of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Sir Robin's Runaway.
Yeah.
That is my reaction to trans people. I've had it since I was a kid. There's no overt thing that happened to me that caused it. It's just one of those random phobias kids have.
Our son, just to put this in context, our son, who is now 25, he'll be 26 the day after Christmas, he'll be 26 on the 26th, has an absolutely drop him in his tracks fear of, wait for it, moths.
Moths.
Doesn't matter if it's a great big old green lunar moth or a little old bitty flitty thing bouncing off of the light fixture in the living room. He is paralyzed with fear by moths. Don't know why. He was never tormented by moths as a child or anything. It's just something that happened in the way that his brain is wired. So I understand.
Yeah.
When you told me, I understood completely what you were talking about. You're not transphobic the way that, say, the TERFs in England are transphobic, saying that, you know, people like me don't exist. You're not transphobic the way that Dave Chappelle is.
They really got to change that word. Just to trans hate, call it what it is. Because I have a friend that's arachnophobic. He's incredibly afraid of spiders. He doesn't deny spiders exist. He doesn't go around looking for spiders to kill. He stays as far away from as he can. Like, that's, you know, that's the nature of the emotion, not if you truly have a phobia, like diagnosable, you know, MS, whatever the psychological volume is, you don't want to face it. You don't want to go anywhere near it. It's over there and I'll be over here. Thank you. And never the two should meet. You don't actively seek out your phobia. It's very stressful. But I wanted to tell you that when I listened to the podcast of you coming out, as I explained to you in the letter, I had like two panic attacks in the sense of I just had to stop listening because my heart was thumbering in my chest and take a break for 20 minutes and then go back to it. But I have been working on it. It has been getting better. I don't, when you go into trans talk for extended periods of time, I don't get panicky. I don't feel the need to tune out the show and take a break and come back and try again. And I wanted to thank you for that because as fate would have it, one of the members at my Thanksgiving table this year, one of the family members at my Thanksgiving table this year came out as a she.
Oh my
so
God, I think
it was,
cry.
It was very nice for me to, I was informed of that before meeting them on the spot. But I had very little fear. I was able to keep my poker face on and treat this person like the person that I've known them for, you know, 10 years or more now, watching them grow up because they just turned 19. And this particular person was, still is technically, but this particular person was very, very shy, very, very closed off, very, very not talkative. And I, you know, thought to myself, hey, maybe, you know, now that the gender dysphoria is getting better and she's transitioning, maybe she'll really come out of her shell and be this social person. Nope, still the same person, just just a female, still shy, yeah. Still not talkative, but happier and more accepting of who she is. And I'm so happy that I didn't make her uncomfortable or put her at odds, and that we just had a good conversation and realigned, and it was not a big deal. And I have you to thank for that. So thank you very much, Robin.
Oh, Paul, that's so beautiful. I mean, it may just seem prosaic to you, but it is so absolutely beautiful, because she needs, you know, as I've said time and time again, no one needs to understand. We don't understand. But what she needs is acceptance. And you gave her that, and you went above and beyond to do it. And that is just such a beautiful example of essential, basic, common human decency in a world that needs it so desperately. And you have absolutely touched me all the way to the core of my being. And it means so much to me that you feel like that you say that my conversations and my coming out helped you in that regard. That's, my God, that's beautiful in ways that I can't express. And I'm just so proud and happy for you and for her.
Well, thanks. And you're very welcome. And thank you for doing that. And just wanted you to know that you make a difference out there. I know you've been having a lot of negative connotations with your transitions from a lot of different sources, but just to let you know that you make a positive difference as well.
Thank you, Paul. That's the most beautiful thing that I've heard in a very long time. And I say that sincerely.
Well, take it with you and use it to help get better and heal faster. And, cause you've got a lot of work to do in 2022, I'm feeling. So
I think it's going to be a mighty interesting year. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, my break is over, and I'm so glad I got on quickly when my break started, so I could spend some extra time. Thank you very much, Robin. Best of Thanksgiving wishes to your family, and I will keep on the ball and keep updating by email over the weekend as I find out more stuff about Omicron. We're still just getting the rumor mill over here, but my break is over and I have to go. Happy Wednesday.
You take care of yourself. A happy, happy Wednesday. And thank you for that lovely, lovely news, Paul. Take care of yourself. And nobody has to tell you to take all those precautions, because you're the one who told us. You be well.
Thanks. You too, Bob. Heal up. That's Robin. Sorry. You too, Robin. Heal up.
Thank you. Bye now. Oh, my heavens. That was just, that was beautiful beyond my ability to describe it. This is how love wins. And I'm really not kidding here. I'm really kind of choked up. Because Paul's life is getting better, and so is hers. And he was a big part of hers getting better. God, we can be good. We can get it right. Paul proved it. And so, hey, I've made it 2 hours and 15 minutes into the program. And I think that's a pretty good benchmark, especially given the day I had earlier today. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, so much for jumping in. We are down to $245 to go to meet Bruce's memorial challenge. I'm hoping maybe somebody, you know, some bodies in the overnight crew via either the White Rose Society podcast or the Podbean podcast will maybe help us make up that deficit, so we can take down the deficit from last month a little bit and go forward having fully funded the first day of the program month. It's been a rough day. Won't kidding. I won't kid. And I have kind of reached the limit of my ability to sit here. But every day, a little stronger. I was already on Cleopatra's barge on the chaise longue an hour and 15 minutes ago in yesterday's program. So this is a good sign. Had a note from our pal, Scary Jerry. So many reasons to write today. Slow ride to Gilead, cowbells included. Firstly, and I'm waving a blue-haired sanctimonious finger here, you should have gotten a Bitcoin wallet when told to. It's just so complicated. I sent the widow Shulgin 25 cents of Bitcoin the week he died. Shulgin was the inventor of MDMA and Molly. He died penniless. If she kept it, that's worth $10,000 to $15,000 today. It was $5 at the time. Get an app, verify with your new identity, accept Bitcoin, deposit in bank. Carolyn rode my ass to buy 20 to 100 Ethereum. Big sigh. I'm on this rant because PayPal is a terrible, terrible company. Suppose someone at PayPal doesn't like trans people. To quote and paraphrase Scott, we're all screwed, Robin. I knew this day would come on several levels. Bitcoin passed PayPal today on transactions. Maybe time. I don't know. It's just such a learning curve. You're kind of out for the count for a couple of weeks and need money. In my hallucinations and premonition addled mine, I knew you would be sick, and I knew that you would have censorship concerns. You were about 2 years from coming out, so I didn't have a clue, just a feeling. Some of us are so far out on the curve, our feet ain't touching the ground. By the way, and I know you haven't gotten any yet, Delta 8 helps with the sparks. Well, there's a lot of CBD places around here. I'll look for some Delta 8 gummies, and I've even got a connection I may have to reach out to see if may be able to help. Delta 8 helps with the sparks. Traumatic brain injury recovered patient testifying. And here, by the way, Paul says, here's your cowbell. Okay, there's the cow. And there's the bell. And then one gnur. God, y'all are doing the heavy lifting now. Thanks, Scary Jerry. Thanks a ton. And we have we've gone further now. We are down beyond 245. Thank you, Yuki. Yuki finished off the 245. Yuki, I can never thank you enough, dear. Thank you so much. So we're fully funded for today, and we've taken the fundraising goal for the fundraising hole for last month down to $1,200. Thank you, Yuki. You're amazing. Thank you so much. Back to Omicron for a moment. Jeremy says, and to think I was told prior to my two shots today we have nothing to worry about with Omicron. It's just a way for medical companies to make money. Clearly a genius told you that, I'm sure, Jeremy. Yeah. But I'm so glad you're all jabbed up and ready to rock and roll. Once the snow gets nice and deep and you can get out of your backyard, you'll be zipping all over the frozen, snow-covered hills of Vermont, and I think that's just a beautiful image. 70 degrees here today. Started out with a little long cardigan duster sweater on. I was like, nope, that's staying in the car. It was just pretty, and it's going to stay that way for a little bit. Okay, before I'm out the door here, stand by a sec. All right, Scary Jerry's with us for a little bit. It helps if I bring the pot up. There you are.
What's a guan, girl? Wait a sec. That was an accepting Jamaican. That's probably not going to happen in actual Jamaica. Tracy said something about she boycotts Jamaica because they kill gay people there. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm Jamaican. So I gotta cop to that. Jamaicans are terrible in that particular regard. Nice. Beautiful, warm-loving people. We're just... That's why...
Got an LGBTQ blind spot.
Yeah, oh, it's not a blind spot. It's a cavern. With that said, I was berating you in my letter. You can read it aloud or not.
I did.
About you should have got a wallet when I told you to, a Bitcoin wallet, because when I told you to, you were like a three-pack-a-day smoker. I could hear it. Looking for money, and you said, you just don't understand it. I remember this fucking conversation.
Oh, I do too.
It was about three, four years ago, and Bitcoin was at like $5,000. What I didn't get into was it was censorship-less payment, which these days, I put in the email that if PayPal, somebody from PayPal decides they don't like trans talk, which sometimes it is. Sometimes it's political. It is whatever we say it is. It could be about barbecue for the whole fucking show tomorrow. And that's what we're doing. That's what we do over here, right?
Right.
If they decide, fuck this gal, then we're all screwed, Bob, because most of your money goes through PayPal.
Yeah,
that's the part I didn't get into because Bitcoin just passed PayPal in the last couple of days in transactions.
Yeah, I saw that in the note when I shared it. That's amazing.
And there's no censorship on Bitcoin, which is also got to bring up something Ron Clinton just said. I'm not even going to mention it. Y'all have to look for the clip. It's less than 2 weeks old. I was like, damn, that's why they hate you. Sometimes you need to shut the fuck up, Hillary. And this was one of those times. Now, the real reason I called, if they overturn Roe v. Wade, I am going to burn. I have three daughters and a granddaughter. I'm going to march her right. No. Nope. Nope. As Picard said, this is the line we draw. It ends here. Fuck everything about this.
Oh, I think it will. If they, I can't. Yes, I can imagine. But
yes, no, you can't use that term. I can't imagine ever again.
No,
because
everything.
Because
is on
you
the
know
table.
What else? When Trump, I think it was the second debate or the first one. I looked at him and I was like, he's sick. He's fucking sick. I remember telling Carolyn that because he had bright red.
We could probably go back and pull up the archive, and it's like, dude was on something. They had him jacked.
Yes, because he had the Rona. He had OG Rona, and he was either falling asleep or on the edge of the seat. If you don't remember that, and he was bright red, and he was wheezing a little bit. If you pay attention
and yelling at the top of his lungs toward Biden,
which is what Rona people do when they're infected. They yell and they get into confrontation. That's something I've noticed on the Rona, and also. Unicron, as I call it, because I can't get past the Transformers.
Yeah, I know.
Unicron is here, and it's definitely vaccine resistant. Even though I'm going to collect all the boosters like Pokemon, because this shit's ridiculous. I'm just getting over something. I haven't been tested, so most people go, "How'd you know?" I go, "Because." You know that nasty taste in the back of your throat you got from the shot? If you got a shot, you know what I'm talking about. About a couple of days afterwards? For me, that's a signal that you've just gone through the Rona, and I have that. I'm going through that again, and I've been doing pink snot rockets for the last fucking 2 days.
Well, there went dinner in the Pacific time zone, so that's not.
Hey,
that's you, Jerry, not me.
Hey, I have. Oh, I sent you some cowbells.
I got those. I played them.
Well, come on, my bad. And you got a Gunnera there, too. I think he sent you two Gunneras instead of three bells.
No, the Gunnera turned out to be a cow.
Okay. That sounds like a Gunnera, though. To me, I was like, you should always play the moo or the bell. It's one or the other. And is it Ron from Parts Unknown?
Paul from Parts Unknown.
Paul from Parts Unknown. I was almost ready to write that letter. Your coming out was not fun, and I am a Jamaican person of color who's may have been, you know, I've tried to stay away from toxic masculinity, but it's how I was raised.
Right. I mean, it's hard to avoid. I mean, if it's you know, you're soaking in it. And so did I.
Damn straight. But I just kept thinking, it goes back to what I said when I was 12 or 13. If a person wants to mutilate or alter their genitals because it's going to make them happy.
Let's not use the M word.
I can't. If it makes you happy, I can't argue with you. And I've never, you know what? I've never heard you this happy. You're weak as shit. I mean, you are weak as a beaten dog, but you're happy as fuck, and I can hear it.
Yeah, and I'm not always going to be that weak. I'm getting better.
I know you didn't get the Delta.
No, I have
Delta work.
I don't think Delta. I haven't yet. No, the Delta 8.
Delta works on the Sparks. That's what I call it. I had a traumatic head injury, 2008, and that's the only thing that it put those to bed permanently. Just that weird electrical energy, sometimes in my head, sometimes in my neck, sometimes in my face.
These are like freaking lightning bolts.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of those, but it works for that kind of, and rebound pain too. Works really good for that. Uh-huh. So, if nothing else, I woke up, I had 3 Delta gummies because I hadn't been sleeping this week either. I did the whole, you know what it was? And I can only tell this story to the horn. I was a millionaire last week, believe it or not. I made a fucking long shot crypto trade. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, it went to a million. Now it's back to subatomic. So, it's only like, I'm only like up to $300. But still. And since then, I haven't been able to sleep because, you know, shit. So I took 3 gummies, just not even all at once, just over time. Took the last one at 12 o'clock last night. Woke up 9 o'clock this morning. Best night's sleep I've had in a month.
I'm going to find me some. Of course, purity and accuracy of assay and everything are always an issue because there's a store on every corner.
Just look for brand reviews because they're all branded. The market is Delta 8 is completely legal as much as places like, you know, outer Alabama and northern Florida would hate that to be. So there's some testing going on and it works. And you shouldn't have to be in pain and not sleep, my friend. We need you because the party is just getting started. You know, the fight. Fascism. There are no 2 weeks off. There are no, there's no PTO.
Yeah, there's no no downtime. Believe me, I'm aware of that.
And fascism has put on its boots as of late. I mean, as a pacifist, gun-fearing person of color, I am considering getting a 2-shot Derringer and a fully automatic 9mm.
You know, you mentioned that, and this is a point. I saw this earlier. This is a separate story, but I wanted to make sure that I got to it. The kid that shot up the high school, young Master Crumbly, really Crumbly, C-R-U-M-B-L-E-Y, posted a picture of his new 9mm a couple of days before the shooting, bragging about it. You know, ask me anything, I'll tell you all of it. And he said, here's my new beauty, and then gave the brand. And I think you'll still probably recognize. Daddy got him on Black Friday a brand spanking new Sig Sauer 9mm. Okay, and just to put this in perspective for people who may not necessarily be into firearms, and I'm not, but I know these things. You know, you can pick up a 9mm Taurus for $175. You can pick up a 9mm piece of trash. For $99. But a Sig Sauer is a fairly elite Cadillac-y kind of handgun.
And this is going to sound really male and toxic, but Daddy should have brought his son to a whorehouse and gotten a blade.
You get no pushback from me on that. But you know,
we heavy gun control and decriminalize sex work, man, the shootings would just go way the hell down.
I think you're right.
But just
so people know, you can drop $1,200 on a Sig Sauer handgun.
Easy.
And this was, you know, it, wow, just kind of blew my mind because.
I'm pissed off. I know what his tick sour is, and I've seen one.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off about that. There's no black powder around me within a mile other than at the police station, and I know too much about guns not having one. But that's just, I mean, I live in Florida. You're going to see a gun.
You sent the sign. We have AR-15s and ammo. Jesus.
That's $2. Not $2. I'm going to be completely accurate. That's 0.9 miles from my house. And I'm in a good part of Dade Broward County. Oh, this shit's crazy, man. Fucking Boebert's crazy. She's the one that makes me the craziest. I'm like, she's a fucking representative? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a senator. I really did. I thought that was the coolest job in the world. Not president. Senator.
Well, and now you've got your senior senator, Marco Rubio. I just saw a story a few minutes ago that he's out swanning around with former pals of Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet.
I'd love to debate. Or just snuggling
and cuddling.
You know what? I want to get into politics, specifically 5-second or 15-second ads. I'm putting that out into the universe. I'm ready to become the attack ad agency. I have some shit to say. Because that's how we win. We win with memes and crushing ads. We were in a meme war. And we're losing. Democrats speak in fucking paragraphs. It's our affliction.
And Republicans talk in bumper stickers. You are absolutely correct.
And we need to shorten our fucking message. Seriously. Because it's killing us. I mean, fucking Biden's economy is turning out to maybe be one of the greatest of all time. Is he getting any credit for it? Am I mean, talking about that? No. The fact that stupid people, including half the people, are dying with COVID who should be dying. Does he get any credit for that? No. 3% unemployment. Does he get any credit for that? No. He sleeps. Yeah, because he's a 70, 80, almost fucking year old man who's jet lagging. He didn't barf on somebody like Bush did. But no, we don't. You see where I'm going with this?
I do.
He doesn't have the queen run the fuck away from him like she did with Trump. or the Pope look like he have a bowling pin up his ass when Trump was standing beside him. But, you know, I don't know. There is no liberal media.
A few others and me constitute what there is.
Barely. 1% of 1%. And there's a large percentage of us.
We're out here screaming in the wilderness.
The compliant wilderness.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, it's great to talk to you, my friend, but I am going to knock off a little bit early and
get some rest, get some Delta. Seriously, if I were you, I wouldn't be above in front of a microphone until February. I don't know how you're doing it. You must really love us. If you get a wallet, I'll send you $5 and hopefully we can start a new income stream. Also, the new blockchain technology, and I'm not going to go into it because it's boring. I'll just make it quick.
Yeah, my eyes will roll back in my head. They really will.
You could store all your podcasts on the blockchain and sell them for even a penny and make some money. You know, in case some platform goes, hey, we don't like this guy anymore, which happens all the fucking time, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I understand.
Can't lose you.
I understand.
We can't lose you. I can't. I don't know what I would do these 3 hours a day. Probably have to go talk to my neighbors or something.
Quelle horreur.
About politics.
Quelle horreur. Take care of yourself, my dear friend. I appreciate it.
You take care. Kiss Agnes for me. Hug. What's her name?
Annette.
Hug Annette. Tell her we don't even know her. We love her because that's who we are. We love. We do drive-by love around here.
Cool.
Silence if we have to.
I will tell her, Jerry. You have a great night. Talk to you soon.
You too.
All right, bye. Our buddy Scary Jerry to wrap things up. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks a ton. Maybe we do need a Bitcoin wallet. Probably would not be the worst thing we ever did here. I mean, there was that attempt to sell Alabama sex clams, and look at it. People are still talking about that. So that's it for the program this evening. 2 hours and 35 minutes is not shabby, but it's about as far as my body will let me go right now. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who jumped in this evening to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you so much. And so the deficit for last month is down to $1,200, and we'll see how it all plays out. Thank you so much. Shouldn't be any hitches with the program for tomorrow or Friday. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program, this long-running conversation, in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And 9 years now, trying our damn dead level best to save Appalachia with the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, H.R. 2073. Pretty please ask your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor it. It's not a big ask, and it means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your vaccine. Take all the advice that Paul from Parts Unknown gave this evening. And thank you, Paul, for that heartwarming, uplifting message this evening. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer everywhere. Don't count on somebody to have it. Keep it in your purse, your backpack, your wallet, your pocket. Don't give a damn. Have it with you. A little bottle, who knows, a little bottle might save a life. And, of course, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know, I won the Georgia governor's election twice, avoid that person like the plague, because we know now that on September 29th, 2020, he was, and he still is.
Later.